Jesus, Jesus, Lord to me, Master, my Savior, Prince of Peace, Prince of Peace, Ruler of my heart, Ruler of my heart today, Jesus, Lord to me. Jesus, Lord, to me. Father, we want to give these offerings to you. And we know that Jesus is the mediator. Jesus is our high priest. So, Jesus, minister this offering from us to the Father. Let him know we love him. We appreciate all that he's done for us. We thank him for loving us and making a plan to bring us from darkness to light. Oh, Father, we love you. Now, Jesus, there's promises that those who give, it will be given back to them. And you've given us so many testimonies in our lives. We appreciate that, Lord. And thank you that there's no limit, that we haven't used you up. So we praise you and thank you for your promise to give back to us. But most of all, we want to give to you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, sir.
Yesterday, as we were traveling around the town and doing things and visiting, the Lord began to tell me, I got saved when I was 23, even though I was raised in church. The gospel was never presented to me. So I raised in church and sent to school and went to all those things. Went to Bible vacation, Bible school. Went to, what's it called, camp? Yeah, camp. Went to camps and I was never saved. I was never born again. I shouldn't use the word never because I'm born again now. Never means I wasn't born again. And then a guy, I was still in the church that I was raised in. They had evangelists come in, and he preached the gospel. There was something about him I just was attracted to, his presence, being around him. Now, everywhere he would go, I wanted to be trailing him. And, you know, that. As men, we're not taught that. We're supposed to be independent, standalone, tough, big, bad boy. But Jesus wasn't that way. People collected around him. And so I went down and visited him one Sunday night. Yes, Sunday night. And I had to go to work the next day. That's how much I went. And I went to church, heard him preach, and after church, he came to me and my wife, not Elizabeth, my wife that passed away, and he said, "Y'all are supposed to come over to the house and we'll have some coffee." This is when I drank coffee, so don't get upset with me. I don't drink it now. And see, I said, he said, "Have some coffee. I think the Lord wants you to come over." And we were there at the house. "You have something for me, and I want it now." And you can ask as Elizabeth back then, I was shy. I would have never done that. But that was the Holy Spirit prompting me. And so I said, "You have something for me, and I want it." He went back, prayed, and came back with a set of tapes. And those tapes changed my life for eternity. But I'm going to the place, and after I got saved and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was having fun, enjoying it. I was back home in my hometown. I was living on the property. I built a new home on a property where I was raised. And I was going to help Dad raise cattle and bale hay and farm and drive tractors and all that good stuff. And about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I was translated. In the air, I was woke up about 2 or 3 in the morning. I was translated like that. I was over Italy. So as I was traveling, the Lord gave me a vision of the country Italy. And then I was standing over the Mediterranean I see it moving, and then the Lord said, look. And I looked straight ahead, and there was a plane, and it was falling, and the engine was stopped. He said, speak to that plane. So I did. I said, run. And the engine started running, and it caught up and went up like that, and the people were praising God. I could hear them screaming before the engine started, and then God brought me back. And that was one experience. Then he said, I'm calling you to Dallas-Fort Worth. So he gave me a job here in Dallas, and the company transferred me up to Dallas, and we were here, and I was, oh, I guess, I don't know what time it was now. The Lord Jesus came to me, came in the room, he said, I call you to be apostle of love. And I'm telling you all this because that's where my heart is. Now, one thing people don't understand about, you know, you heard the teaching on that God is love, right? God is love. He's not. He don't have love. He is love. And they don't understand about love. The American idea of love is you give me what I want. No, God don't do that. He gives you not. He don't give you what you need. He gives you what he planned for you. See, before the foundation of the world, he planned your life. And that is the life that he planned is love. And that life will be a perfected life, a perfect life. And yet, see, that's when and Satan come in and caused Adam and Eve to sin. And now that corruption is there. And Satan wants to steal your life that God planned for you. And so we think that independent spirit is a spirit of Satan. Amen. See, Satan judged God and said, I'm going to make myself as God. So he judged God, that God the Father failed of being God. And you see that nature in us. Well, I don't think God wants to do this. No, you judge that. Or I got to control my life. See, you're judging God. God wants to lead you in your life, not you control your life, right? So I'm beginning to come to this first scripture, hon. We're going to talk about God's love for us, right? Beloved, let us love one another, for God is love, okay? So we know that God is love. So we're born of that love, and God loves us, and therefore we are beings of love. And that's the attack of the world. That's why our mind and thoughts and beliefs are going to be changed, because they're not love. They're of self, taking care of ourselves. Everything's about protecting ourselves, gaining for ourselves, increasing ourselves. And that's not what we're born of. We're born of love, that unselfish love that God has for us. He does for us. And you can tell Christians do not know God well. They say, well, God going to knock me on the head because I did this. Sweetheart, he paid for that 2,000 years ago. So that wouldn't be right. That wouldn't be justice to punish you for something he already paid for 2,000 years ago. Or over 2,000 years ago. Right? To punish you for your sins. Now what you do is you sin and you punish yourself by sinning or doing wrong but been doing evil. That's the way things work. You reap what you sow, is what I'm saying. Now look at this. Everyone who loves is born of God. So one of the, I call it the litmus test, are you born again? Do you love? If you love, then I'm born again. So the way I learned this, the first church I was pastoring, this one couple came to me, Pastor, God sent us here to judge you and straighten you out and make sure you go the right way. And I was nice, mostly. I still wasn't perfected like him now. Now I just don't pay no attention. And they said, I don't think you called me. And they looked at me, started getting a frown on their face, and you could see the anger come. You did not call me. And what you just told me is you don't believe God can correct me and God can lead me. Isn't that what you just said? That God's not good enough, he's not, doesn't have the ability or the wisdom to lead and guide and correct me. See, I believe God loves me so much, he'll correct me, because he's a good parent. Yeah. Oh, they got mad, and I was a bad pastor, and of course I went out through the community, said, bad things. Well, they sowed that. And what happened is that they ended up in the hospital, and I told the gentleman, you will live. I don't remember if it was through the night or this week, you'll die. And so they called me. Because God, when I pray for people in Jesus' name, he heals people. Just that simple. Because I'm good? No. Because he appointed me as a pastor for his church, and he gave that gift to me to impart to you. It's that simple. It's God's love for you. It's not because I'm great. I know who I am. I was a failure looking for someone to happen. And God picked me up and made me his son. See, that's humility. But anyway, the point was, we prayed for him. And when I left down there, pastoring that church, he was still living. But they didn't have quite that attitude anymore. And God's got a way of doing that. You think you're an expert of everything, he's got a way of showing you you're not that expert. I like amen, prophet. So what I'm saying is, no matter what they did, it's about what I'm going to do. Somebody does you wrong, they don't give you a right to begin to criticize, make fun of, because they don't do what you want. You're commanded to walk in love, right? So no matter what somebody does towards you, you can stop what they're trying to do and love them. Amen? Everyone who loves them, born of God. So that to me was the first time that God said to me, see, you're my son. I said, what? He said, you have proven by the love in you that you went there and ministered to them even though they attacked you. And so you're not qualified. Well, Lord, I know that you qualified me. I can qualify me. And I know me. And see, people get so prideful. They think they know you. Yet the Bible is very clear. No man knows the heart of another man. See how prideful that is? But people don't realize that. But see, God revealed it to me, and that's why I could realize it. See, a lot of things people can't realize in their Christian walk because the Holy Spirit has not revealed it to them, and they didn't give him opportunity to reveal things to them. How do you get saved? The Holy Spirit revealed it to you that you need the Savior, and you chose Jesus Christ, right? And so that's the point that I'm making. Now, look at this. Man, it made me shout. Forgive me, people. It is born of God and what? Knows God. Ooh! That, it turned me on. Somebody said, you know God? Yes, I do. You know God? Yes, I know him. What do you know him? He loves people. He loves people. He's not in the business of condemning. Yes, there's an appointed time of judgment, the white throne judgment of those people who did not choose Jesus, but they chose that. He didn't judge them. They judged themselves by rejecting the Christ. So he had no choice but to put them where they chose. When you choose to reject Christ or the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have chosen the eternal fire. Like a fire. You chose it. You chose where you go. And we chose Jesus, so we chose heaven. Amen. See that? God didn't judge it. He laid the gifts out to you, and you judge. Judge whether you want to go to heaven or you want to go to the lake of fire. That's your choice. So these people blame him and go, oh, baby. don't blame God. Like, God took my baby. No, God didn't take your baby. Adam and Eve sinned and brought death into here, and the devil brought death, and that's what killed your baby. Not God, unless Satan's your God. Come on, I hear no shouts or amens, but if it will, yeah. These things are hard because we've been lied to. If Elizabeth goes out there and takes a hammer and knocks a hole in that car, and somebody says, John, why'd you hit the car with a hammer? John didn't hit it. Elizabeth did. And that's the same thing. People are blaming God the Father and Jesus for the evil, and they're not evil. The devil and his falling cart do. Let's go forward. That's enough. I know it. I see so many Christians that believe that trash, and I just hurt for them. Because they don't know the love of God. They don't know God. And one of the most precious things I have is I know the Father. I remember the day, I shared this last week. I remember the day he called me son. Oh, I'm his son. So precious. He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Amen. So you can tell where a person is in knowing what they know about God and what kind of relationship they have to God. To see, do they walk in love in their life? You can see it right away. You see them focused on things of this world. I had to make some adjustments when I married Elizabeth. Not being married, is that she's so forgiving. She's so patient. Oh, I said, give me a hammer, I'll straighten them up. She says, no, John, show mercy. So after a couple of years, maybe more than a couple, I began to be like her, more merciful, right? Wow. But anyways, I had to learn. God is love. So we're born in whose image? So we should be love, right? Amen. Let's go forward, huh? In this, the love of God is manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might, what, live. So if you're not walking in love, you're not living the life that God gave you yet. Now, this is not condemnation. Like I said, this is a test to show you where you're at in your discipleship to Jesus. That's it clearly? Okay. Now, the test is, when somebody does you wrong, do you show love back? Or do you slam them with words, criticize them, and go to their neighbor and condemn them? Where are you at in your love walk? Is this car more important than a human life? Is this animal more important than human life and human, what's the word of well-being, than the well-being of human? Now, I used to listen to life. We've been around a while, and we've seen people love their dog more than a child. They'll beat the kid for the animal. And it's happened so much, I don't even like animals no more. I don't hurt them. They stay in their place, and I stay in my place. But it bothered me so much through my life. I've seen it through my family relationships, through church relationships. People, the only thing to be saved off this planet, and you can get shot, just don't throw no rocks. I have to throw them back. Okay? No, I'm kidding. Teach it on love, and I don't throw them back. I know I'm having fun to wake people up. Brother Faith keeps going to sleep on me. Okay, you ready? So, are we willing to sacrifice for the things of God? That shows us we love the love of God, and the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. We have begun a gift of the love of God when we're born of him, and that love is in there. but then we have the responsibility to spread it and make it stronger and more withstanding more attacks of the world against our lives. Amen. If God manifests his life toward us, and we know he did, then what are we expected to do? Manifest that love toward people. And this is love. Not that we love God, not that we love God first, but he loved us and sent his son to be a what? Elizabeth, would you speak to that?
The propitiation?
Right.
So he was the substitute, the sacrifice. He paid the price. That's a word we don't use. I don't go around saying propitiation very often. But it just means God sent Jesus to take our place. We should have been crucified. We should have been dead. We should have been in hell. We should be destroyed. Instead, Jesus took our place.
Amen. Thank you, Donnie. Sometimes in life, even though a person did us wrong and we're right, we'll forgive them. And by doing forgiving them, because they didn't earn it, they were wrong, they did wrong, then we took their place and forgave them and let it go and count it as loss. Right? So we do, by that, we know that the love of God is in us. And you know, when you're working, somebody will do you wrong. Somebody is so self-centered. Everything's about them. Everything's about their life, about money, about situation, and they got to be in control. That one was a hard one for me because I knew I was deceived, but in my thinking, I said, if I'm in control, I make sure everything's done right. Yeah? I run that car in the ditch too. And said, help me. He said, don't take the wheel and it'll be all right. So quit trying to take control of your life and let Jesus lead you, right? Let him direct you. And the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. So being born of God, God's work for us is his love wants to lead us to perfection because he's perfect. And we have to learn. That's something we learn as disciples of Jesus. Amen. Let's go. Ooh, read for the hun.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
See, their God, that's a commandment, but really it's direction. God's teaching you his nature. Even though you sinned against me, I love you. And I did something about getting you out of the trap you was in, the bondage you was in, and you would eventually go to eternal death. I did something better because I loved you. Amen. So we said, beloved God so loved us, he also ought to love one another. So God said, when somebody does you wrong, love them and you're like me, God. Amen. So we see our challenge as Christians is to love those who have done wrong against us, have talked bad about us, and they were the one wrong. And yet we love them. By this we know love. So how can you tell if you're walking in love? There again, God's telling us how we know love. When we've been done wrong, but yet we love them and try to do good for them. Amen. The one who... I think the word in the law is perpetrator, right? They did wrong, but we love them anyways. Why? Because we did wrong and somebody loved us. And we want to shine his light. And we do that by loving the ones that have done us wrong, right? Because he laid down his life for us so that by us forgiving them and helping them and showing them the light, we lay our lives down and say, you're important. And that's what Jesus did. He laid his life down because I was in bondage of sin and death. He laid his life down to show how much he loved me. Amen? And now we have the opportunity to show the world his light and his love by laying our lives down. And that's one thing, to me, one of the hardest things a Christian has to do is take up the cross and be crucified. Self don't want to be crucified. It's always saying, me, 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 me. And then you have to say, no. Jesus, 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 help me, but okay, our lives for the brethren. Now, I won't clarify this thing. Notice it didn't say the world. It said who? You don't do this for everybody. You do it for the family of God. See the difference? Because the world, or somebody not born again, does not have the love to you, that you're just somebody they can use. Now, there's times when God will lead you to help somebody, amen, and show them Christ, and that's normal. But laying your life down in front of them, that's only to the brother or the church, okay? The family of God, amen. Go ahead. But whoever has this world's goods and see his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, does not know. One lady came to me one time and says, every time I'm going to work, there's one stoplight they get to, and there's somebody out there holding a sign, needing money, I want food, whatever. She said, I have to stop every time and give $1 to them. And people tell me, don't do it, don't do it. You're not helping them, you're not helping them. But I can't help it. See, the people telling us don't realize. See, each one of us, God imparts. We're born again, imparts motivation. And each one of us have different motivations. The one that why I tell Elizabeth, can we help them? They need some help. I say, no, they can go to work. Her motivation was mercy. Mine was right. Righteousness is called on. And they're talking about, it's called righteousness. I was saying, this is the right thing. And she would say, mercy, not right. Right. So, but through the years, the Holy Spirit worked with me. And now I have the mercy of working with the right. And the Holy Spirit would say, no, John, y'all are not supposed to do that. Or say, Elizabeth, the Holy Spirit just said we can help them. Because a lot of times, Christians interfere God's blessing on that person. And what I mean is, see, sometimes people have to go all the way down to nothing before they'll turn to God. So God will let them go all the way down to nothing so they'll look to him so he can save them eternally. Amen. Amen. Now that type of love is hard for me to get. To let your kid hit bottom. How to handle that. Thank God I have the Holy Spirit to teach me from the Word what to do. And he taught me how to handle that. Amen? How does this love abide in him? See, if you have no desire inside of you for that, you know what that desire is? It's called compassion. And Jesus was full of compassion. Right? Yeah. And so that compassion has to be ruled. See, Elizabeth had that compassion, and I had to be renewed to that. I didn't have that compassion. I made a living. I went to college. I worked hard. I worked nights and days. I worked 24-hour shifts, not one time, but round shift work, days, evenings, and midnight. I worked hard to get where I was at. See, that all about me. And she didn't have all about me. She had the mercy. So God had to cleanse me of that. Now, these things happened years ago. That's not last week or whatever. But it still happened then. Next, honey. Whatever thing we ask, we receive from him. Now, think about it. Whatever prayer you request, you can receive that prayer. Now, why? How can you live a life and know when I pray, God will answer? Because that's the answer. We keep His commandments. So walk in the love walk, Satan can make your prayers null. All he has to do is get you out of walking in love. Do those things that are pleasing in the sight of God. Next. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love. So all Satan has to do is get you in the flesh, and your prayers are, except the one that says, I repent, Lord. is this a commandment? We're commanded to believe in His name. We're commanded to have faith in His name. Amen? And walk in love. Why? Is that an unjust love? No, because He gave us the Holy Spirit in Romans. He shed abroad in our spirit, our heart, the love of God. So God gave us a commandment of love, but He also gave us the ability to love. Amen. You don't have to get up unless you want to, huh?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good. Thank God. That's such a truth. You know, you want God to answer your prayers. Are you in love? Are you acting in love? Are you thinking in love? And John talks about me being in mercy, but you know, my mercy was too much. It was wrong. I wanted to have mercy on everybody, give to everybody. And so there's nothing left for me and my family. And John had to say, look, you have to listen to God. If God says give, give. If God doesn't say give, don't give. No matter what need you might see. I was trying to be everybody's God. You know, you need something, don't go to God. I'll take care of it.
Oops.
I'm forgiven. And I've changed. Amen. So as we love, I love what you said. We give, we open our hearts to each other in the church, to the brethren, to those who love God. But to those outside of the church, they're just going to use you. They're going to take everything you have and sell it and then blame you because you don't have more. Well, I am just shouting.
Well, go ahead, help yourself, girl.
I think this church is so full of compassion. I mean, the people in this church are full of compassion. Amen. And I think they've got a really good understanding of listen to God and give, or listen to God and don't give. I think they have a real good understanding of that.
Yes, ma'am.
And so God can bless you. God can raise you up. Amen. Because you're going to obey Him.
Amen.
That's good. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the country. We're blessed in the field. Our cupboards are filled. Our refrigerator is filled. Our closets are filled. Our everything. Our hearts are full of love.
Why are they filled?
Because we love God.
Because God's our source,
yes.
Not our job.
God is our source. Amen. That's true.
Amen. Father, bless your people. Thank you that you gave us the ability to love like you and be like you originally planned. Thank you, sir, for not giving up on the human race and always working with them. And bless these people in the city, bless them at home, bless them at work, bless them going in and out, and make their kneading trough full and run over in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You're